So this morning we are looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and reasons to give thanks. And reasons to give thanks, one of them being able to enjoy the meal with friends and not being the meal. Right? Paul's admonition to the church of Corinth, do you not know that the turkeys in the barnyard all run, but not all get away. Run in such a way that you avoid being Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. Well, so technically, today is the first Sunday of Advent. So we're thinking forward to the celebration of Jesus' incarnation. But the way the calendar works, I don't know if December snuck up on me, but it was like, oh my gosh, it's December already. Today, we're still connected backwards with the Thanksgiving holiday. So today, coming to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to focus on both Thanksgiving and incarnation. So in the big picture of Colossians, Paul, in his letter, he's pleading with the Colossians to not get sidetracked by philosophy and the religion of all of what's around you, but stay focused on Jesus, God in the flesh and blood of our humanity. You kind of hear incarnation in that just a little bit. Stay focused on Jesus, flesh and blood of He's coming, the flesh and blood of our humanity. And there's thanksgiving in what Paul writes because, and what we're coming to this morning, Paul is going to give some specifics about what God has done for us in the incarnate Christ Jesus. That are huge and significant reasons for us to give thanks. So, if you are able, if you would stand with me as we come together before God in His Word, we're going to read out loud together the 17 verses, which is our passage for this morning. All right? So, here we go. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For if you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Through these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Please join me in prayer. Father, we come once again to your word. We ask that you would open up to help us to understand them. And not just to understand what's written here, the words, to understand the meaning of the words. Beyond that, to understand the implications for our lives. And beyond that, God, that you would lead us into response, that we would respond as you desire for us to respond. And that you would continue to form our will to your will. You would continue to cause us from the heart level to be faithfully obedient. You would take from us pride. God, you would mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we would live and you desire for us to live, to live lives that are pleasing to you and that bring honor and glory to you. Pray for us to speak to all of us. And lead us to you and have us to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be seated. So, as we unpack this passage, there are two big picture realities that we need to keep focused on. The first is what God has done for us. He's done for me, what he's done for you. Through the work of Jesus, we find it crucified, dying in our place, and in the region. And second, as we touch on the truth of what God has done to give thanks, which is also something that God is encouraging us, Paul's encouraging us to do in this passage. So as we unpack Paul's teaching this morning, it is okay for us to say out loud or to say to yourself, especially to God, thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for making that reality for me. So Paul begins, right? These two realities in mind here, right? What God has done for us, being able to give thanks to God for that. Paul begins, if you have been raised with Christ, meaning since you have been raised with Christ, since you are spiritually alive because of Jesus. Since you have repented of your sin, you've died to your sin, and your old self is your own God and the world's way of doing life, and you're giving your life to God by faith, trusting in Jesus as your Savior and his work on your behalf on the cross, since by God's grace and Christ's work on the cross, you have been raised to new life in Jesus. Meaning, thank God that you are. Right? Someone says, thank God. Thank you, God, for raising me. Right? Thank you that I'm alive in Christ. And since you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above. Strive, desire, passionately pursue where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. For Jesus is the authority, the ruler, the creator, the sustainer, the purpose of everything that is. Seek and keep on seeking what it means to be with Jesus. But set your mind on the things that are above, meaning seek heaven. Get your mind wrapped around heaven, that indescribable future that we were given a glimpse of back when we were looking through, studying through the book of Revelation. Think about the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. It's like we're going on vacation. The colder and the wetter it gets around here, some of us may be thinking about summer. Anybody thinking about summer? Right? We got tests, we got papers, we got projects, we got work, we got papers to get through, and there's stuff beyond that. But in our minds, we're thinking about vacation. What is that going to be like? We may be here physically, but mentally, we're already there. But what Paul encourages us like that, he says, get your mind focused on the amazingness of where we will spend eternity with Jesus. If we have been raised with Jesus, since we are raised with Jesus, we are going to be there someday. Count on it. Live expecting it. Somebody says, thank God for giving us a glimpse of what comes next. And by grace, you made it possible. Thank you. And then Paul writes that we are to focus on our lives being hidden with Christ in God. Means that when we are in Christ, since we are in Christ, nothing is going to take us out of Christ. God is certain to hear that. Paul writes, he says, when Christ appears, we will appear with him in glory. And Paul encourages us to hold on to that truth in whatever we experience today, between the life that we live here and the drama and the distractions and the discouragements of today and the life that is ours there. When Jesus comes back, there isn't going to be any of us any separation from that. No more longing, because we're going to be there with Jesus. And that is the reality that we need to meditate on and marinate in and give thanks to God for the reality of it. It is a done deal. And thank God that you and I, we have the certainty of that, the security. Thank God. And pulling that into the daily of our reality. Okay, what does that mean? So if we're trying to drive forward while focusing backwards, what's going to happen? Right? Okay, we're going to get clean. We're going to miss what God has, what we need to be focusing on forward, right? Both of us can turn towards focusing backwards. And Satan loves to get us looking backwards. Anybody with me on that? Okay? There's a little seeds of things that get planted in our minds about how we've messed up and how we're damaged goods and how all those loose ends of stuff that are back there, those things, you just can't get past that. Or how we failed others, we've messed up as parents, as kids, and whatever, and the addictions, the hang-ups that we drag along with us, and how God may have forgiven all those things, but you know, we've still got more to go with that, because God's forgiveness only goes so far. We wouldn't say it that way. Yeah, okay, because we understand, because God's forgiveness covers all. But in our minds, we're still dealing with it, right? So every time we mess up, it just adds to our feelings of guilt and doubt and failure and inadequacy, and you really can't get past it. And which is bondage and guilt and depression and ugly attitudes about ourselves, and ultimately we struggle to trust the truth of what God really has done for us by His grace in making us alive in Jesus. And it is hugely discouraging, and it is epic failure in process. So setting our minds and focusing forward to what God, who has raised us, has done for us, done deal by His grace. You need to stop looking backwards and getting pulled into all of that. You need to start looking forwards and to give thanks to Christ's victory over that, and to meditate on that, and marinate in that truth day by day and moment by moment of what God has done for us in Christ, and to give thanks and keep on giving thanks to God, continually focusing on the reality of what He has done for you, for me, in Christ. Thank you, God, for this is that reality in my life. And when coming to verse 5, Paul is going to give us two lists. One list focuses on examples of backwards focusing, and list number two is forward focusing on God and what God, because of Christ Jesus, has done for us, that we can thank God for. Right? So list number one is a description of focusing backwards on where we've been, because it's way too easy to go there, right? And sometimes we're focusing backwards, and we don't even realize it. We just kind of get into these, like, downward spiral type things. But Paul's going to give us examples of what that might look like so we don't go there. Recognize it, right? And so Paul says, put to death, which in Greek means put to death, right? Which means exterminate it. Don't just suppress your sin, or try to control it, or sometimes allow our mind to drift back to it and flirt with it. Anybody ever flirt with their past sin? Right? Dead is dead. Okay, so deal with it decisively. And so let's be careful. Paul's writing to those who are raised in Christ. So we need to grab the deathly seriousness of Paul's command, pun intended, right? Sin is self-destructive behavior. Sin is killing us, and it deserves to die. Either we kill it or it's killing us. Grab the seriousness of that. So Jesus said, instead of what? To cut off part of your body, some body parts, and to have your whole body end up in hell. So put to death these things. Kill them. Exterminate it. Sexual immorality. Sexual activity outside of marriage that God says is only supposed to be a part of in marriage. Put to death impurity. Physical, moral impurity. What we think or do that is sexually impure. What we joke about, what we listen to, what we watch. Put to death passion or lust, emotionally uncontrolled desire that says focused on meeting my supposed needs at the expense of others. put to death evil desire, meaning a desire to do what's evil. Sometimes we get caught up in doing something that we know inside of us, we know that's wrong, but we just,
I'm just talking theory here, right? None of us would ever do something that we knew was wrong just because we simply wanted to do it. But sometimes we give in to temptation. We do it. Let's face it.
Even put this to death, the evil desire. Put to death covetousness. Meaning greed, being dissatisfied with what God gives us, and we want something else, what someone else has. And Paul summarizes, he brings it today, he says, that's all idolatry. Why idolatry? Meaning we have a greater place. These things have a greater place, they have a greater authority over our lives than God. And Paul writes that the wrath of God is coming down on these things. God is going to judge and punish these things because they're not of God. These things, when we have all this going on, why is it all about us? Not God. And so then Paul writes in verse 8, he says, just them all away. Now! Not waiting for some future New Year's resolution that we know we're going to fail on anyway, right?
Right?
So, just put them all away now. And put away in Greek, it has the idea of tearing off of these old clothes. They're dirty, they're sweaty, they're grimy, they're stinking, they're shredded, they're old clothes. Strip them off and burn them. And put away anger, which is all about anger, which is deep inside of us. Anger, it's amazing how easy sometimes we think we've gotten past this and that something happened. And oh my God, something's up.
Put it away.
Put away wrath, meaning acting out in rage. Malice, which is just about pure viciousness and wickedness towards someone else. Slander is spreading somebody else's spread, their reputation. Obscene talk describes four-letter words that now seem to have crept into the average Christian's vocabulary. And jokes and comments and words that are aimed at tearing someone else down. In verse 9, Paul tells us to stop lying to one another. Stop the hypocrisy. Opponent to being in Christ, being all religious and looking good on Sunday, but living in the world. Why? Because we put off the old self. With his practices, these attitudes and actions, and anger and wrath and so on. Why? Because you put on the new self, which is renewed, being renewed in the knowledge after the image of our Creator. And then in verse 11, Paul writes about here. Where? Here, right? Here. In this new raised with Christ's life, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's circumcised, or actually a barbarian, Scythian, slavery, or whatever. Bottom line, Christ is all. And in all. Right? So let's make sure we're together with what Paul is getting at here. You know, we're constantly saturated with what Paul described in the first verse, right? The world is focused on and saturated with sex. All that world-driven sexual energy is focused on self-gratification, which is where the world has and is and will be focused. The world's version of sexuality is all about the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Self-idolatry, not God's holy purposes for blessing us with our sexuality. And along with that sexual saturation comes the attitude, and self-focus comes the attitude that Paul describes in the second part of this list. And here, wrath, and malice, and so on. Not that those are wrong, except when they're focused on me, myself, and I. Wrong, unless they're focused on the purpose that God has blessed us with the ability to express those emotions, which is very clear. And so it is so easy for us to get much off track by what we are saturated with and find ourselves focusing backwards and living with actions and attitudes that are hugely self-destructive. Actions that are really too easy for us to come to when we make life about us to care our needs, focusing on how everything has been us, how I've been wrong, how I've been messed up, how this all depends on who we care as himself. And so verse 11, we use the barbarian for life, it's about the divisions that we create when we're operating by our own private media, how we compare ourselves to others, fighting and dicing, judging and categorizing others because of them. And so Paul is bringing our self-focused egos back on the side.
when we start seeing, because these are lists of evaluations, right? Make sure these things aren't happening in your life. When you start seeing those things creeping into how we're living our life, there ought to be red flags there. There ought to be sirens going off. Something is terribly wrong, and we need a huge dose of reality. And so we need to stop lying to ourselves. Let's stop playing the hypocrite in front of our Christian siblings. Whatever our background, ethnically, religiously, culturally, spiritually, none of us deserves to be here. None of us is holy enough. None of us is righteous enough. All of us have messed up royally, completely, totally. We've all fallen measurably short of God's standard of absolute holiness, righteousness, and perfection. And the only reason that any of us is here is because of Jesus incarnate, crucified, resurrected. He is God, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, Jesus Christ, in whom we are raised. So we can thank God that all that is how we used to live. We once walked in all that when we were living for ourselves, and we're caught up in all that, caught up in what was all about us, trying to deceive ourselves and lie and being hypocritical about the reality of what's really going on in our lives. Well, so thank God for his honesty with us about that. Here's the reality check. And thank God for the feeling that he gives us in Christ. Continues to yield to the Holy Spirit's working power, working with us to kill all of that. And then today, because we're honest about that, that's all bad. So that we can be opened up totally to this different life that is focused forward on time, Christ and what God has waiting for us in forever. Yeah, thank you, God, for making that reality. Number 12, coming verse 12, Paul's second list. If you want to focus backwards, God's honest with us. Don't go there. You go there. Be honest. And thank you. Here's the reality check. Look forward. And then verse 12, Paul's second list, he put it like this to focus forward on God. And what the head of Christ is, he can be God. Look at this thing. Put on is what Nathan said to everybody. We all do this in the morning, right? How do you check your phone and see what the weather is like? It's kind of weird. You can gravitate to that, right? You can really find out, okay, well, it's going to be raining today, right? If I better put something on, change forward like that, right? So we do that, right? So we put that focusing forward. Put on, right? Seriously, Paul's encouragement is, you've got to find the right stuff. You've got to put on that, have the right focus. Focus on and what's going to keep us moving forward through life, having the right attitude and action. So focus forward, following God, and not messing up ourselves so that we've got those things. Put on then two things, Paul second book. Paul begins to be a Christian of those who are in Christ, who are able to focus forward. So this is the Christian of us. Put on them. Okay, we are God's children. These are the ones that God has chosen. Right? This is God's role for this year. Right? It's a year for this year. Thank you, God, for choosing this. Okay? And holy means set apart for God. We're damaged goods. Some of us are more damaged than others, but God redeems us. He repairs us. He retools us. He restores us. And because of God, the imagery of that, because of God, we're kind of like the utensils, the pots, the things that were used in the Old Testament, in the temple or in the tabernacle, we're set apart. We're for God's use only. So God has a unique and holy purpose for your life. Thank you, God, for making it holy for you. The love of Jesus is coming and living and dying and living for us, his work on the cross. Why? Because God chooses to love us. God chooses to love us even when we don't see ourselves as lovable and we struggle to love others. God chooses to love us and we want nothing to do with that. We're living totally offensive to God. God chooses to love us and being committed to keep on loving us forever. And some of us are God to choose to love us.
And Paul goes on, put off the duty to be with one of his attendants, and another to be with each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Long time ago, he's far away, really far away. I remember talking with a man who refused to talk to another man in the congregation. And these two gentlemen who claimed to be the faith in Christ, they had genuinely spoken to each other for over 30 years. Because it's something that one person, one man had done to the other one, that they never spoke about, they never aired out their differences, and they were turned every Sunday and they would work with God. Is there something wrong with that? Sometimes God will be wrong. And the Bible teaches, when someone wrongs me, to go to that person in private and talk it out. We don't get to hang on to our feelings of injustice and unfairness. We need to say how we feel. We need to forgive what needs to be forgiven, and we need to move on. And then Paul writes, he's above all these. But on love, and the greatest of these is love. Love pulls all of us together. If you don't get love, if you get love, you got it all. You know, what's out there with Paul's love is focused on me, me, redeem myself, and I. Paul's first list has a backwards thinking and focus. It's hypocrisy in real time. And feel that we feel it as an instrument of where we live. But God's love is focused on sacrificially dying for the good of others. While we're sinners, Christ died for us. We're disciples. We're given the privilege of loving us. We love, right? And so even loving is gaslighting people around here that are like that. And so proving that we're disciples of Jesus. You see what Paul's focused on here? The life isn't about us. First is thinking. Love isn't about us. Which means that we can love self-assistance. And we can respond with kindness and compassion and humility and meekness and patience, bearing with each other, even forgiving each other, which is all it is at the core of living in harmony with each other, being for being in a man, living in a place, and places where we belong. And that's what I'm looking at, which is the God's choice. And that's all. I just told you the holy.
And they're going out, verses 15 and 16, Paul pulls together a season with this year. So what is what you have to do like for us? And what is the business of this and the story of us? What is the story of this and all this? Paul, a root of peace of Christ, the Lord of us, the symbol of drama and disaster and disagreements and discouragement, God is still in control. And to get our egos out of the way and let God rule and not us. And then Paul writes, he says, and be thankful. Which almost seems like an afterthought, but it's not. It's a slow down to the speed, but we got to wait for it. Reminder to pour everything that Paul is drawing for here. So none of any of that happens. We're not who we are in Christ. Grace, chosen, holy, beloved, putting on death and putting on love, binding it together. Bottom line, living with peace, ruling our hearts. None of that happens unless the focus is on God. So wait for it. Be thankful for all of it, which is yours by God's grace in Christ, incarnate, crucified, risen. And then Paul writes, says, let the word of Christ dwell in your lips. Dwell is like relatives that show up for Thanksgiving meal and they just stay. For months. Right? They just move and they take over, which is what God's word should be doing in our lives. It should be never leaving, it should be taking over. Richly is abundantly and it's dwelling in you, it's just overflowing, it's just coming out of you. What does that look like in real time? Teaching is formal. His look, teaching is formal, like preaching, admonish, is informal kind of study things that happen at life group. Wisdom is the point of all that, the application of God's truth, His word, taking God's knowledge and applying it into the day-to-day of how we can live our lives. And Paul gives us an example of music. Music is huge. We can embed His word into our hearts. You know, we don't remember sermons, reality check. But music is a powerful way to internalize God's word, right? So that as the word of God dwells in us, as it penetrates us, it's saturating us, it's flowing out of us, it's transforming us at the heart level, wait for it. Be thankful for all of it, which is yours by God's grace, in Christ, in Christ, crucified, risen. Some would say, thank you, God, for your word, it's not something that I want. And then Paul summarizes, he says, and whatever you do, and all these things, and make you say and do, and how you act, and all the things you do, and then you're with Jesus. Then you're with Jesus, and you're with your brothers and sisters, and he's done. And our soldiers, our Lord, the head of the church, the great service, and all these things, and all these things. Every day of your life, you have to have God is chosen me. God is at work in forming me. God has set you aside as unique and special for me. You are beloved of God. Grab that and don't let go of it. God really does love you. And that love of God, He desires to grow in you and use in your relationships with others. His love comes out of confidence and attitudes like compassion and kindness and humility and even forgiveness. And we may be tempted to backward thinking, see our circumstances as an impossible dead end. We may see ourselves as complete failures, but God doesn't. And as we allow the sovereign God to have control over our lives, He will bring His peace into our lives. He will guide you and me with His word and give meaning and purpose to our lives, even using us, you and me, for this world. And I think this sovereign, I think it's great reason to give thanks. Psalm 119, verse 24 says this. Read it. Let's read it together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Now, I don't know. I would just say, you're like me. There are some days when I don't feel like rejoicing and being glad today. Okay. Imagine God, I'm out of bed yet. I'm just thinking about it. There are days when I'd rather focus on ourselves and wallow in actions and actions and take us backwards. But thank God that we can choose each day to be thankful for Jesus and what we have in Him. And that thankfulness will help us to focus forward on Jesus and open us up to all that God has for us in Him. Can I lead us in prayer? Yeah. Can you bow with me? Father, we thank you for these amazing truths. So we're just kind of bouncing across, like spinning, you know, a little rock going across the pond. We're spinning across the incredible depth of what it means that we have been risen in Christ. That you have raised us in Him to this new life. Father, I pray that in the temptations of this week, even today, that we trend towards the backward focusing. That God, you would put those to death and we would put on what it is that you have given to us. And that God, as we think about what this means, that Jesus has come in the flesh and blood of our humanity incarnate, is crucified in our place, is risen and is returning for us, that God, we might give thanks to you. And God, and I give Him a thanks that we would use that. God, focus us forward on what you have for us and all who you have created us to be in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, God. These are tremendous truths. And we just thank you for all these things that you have done for us in Christ by your grace. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.